possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer. How laughter bellows louder among friends, and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover and experience the best of nature. With over 450,000 trails worldwide and navigation right at your fingertips. Find your outside with All Trails. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
7:15 now on this Tuesday morning, August 26th. I do think Dave Cohen should be part of that symposium at the Le Petit Theater, because he was the voice of all of this. Anyway, we'll talk now with Dr. James Riopelle, an anesthesiologist, and Jamie Manders, his wife. And as I understand it, Dr. Riopelle, your wife is on because you're a pretty humble guy, and she's got to tell your story. Am I accurate or not?
She tells it better, and she also was tremendously useful in getting me rescued from the hospital.
All right, let's talk about you first and being at the hospital. You're an anesthesiologist. You are on duty at the hospital when Katrina hits. And we're talking about Lindy Boggs Hospital, right?
Right, the old Mercy.
Right, and what happens here? What happens then? What, you go to work? You got a scheduled shift? Do you go in because of the hurricane?
No, I was on the hurricane duty. Actually, one of my colleagues told me she had an infant baby, and she was on duty, and she said, I'm just afraid to go to the hospital. So I told her, what better place to be with an infant baby than a hospital? She said, I'm just scared. Would you please take my call up, hurricane call? I said, okay. So we went in, and, you know, the place was frantic with preparations, and we were stuck up
in a... Wait, so if this lady doesn't have an infant, you're not even at the hospital, right?
Right.
Okay, go ahead.
I mean, she was, this baby was like under 6 months old.
Well, I'm not criticizing her. I'm just saying it's how fate dictates things sometimes. If not for that, you're not there. So go ahead.
I mean, the feeling that fate was, moving things around was an ever-present feeling the whole time.
I'll bet. So tell me what happens. The storm hits, and what are you doing? Are you...
So we're up with her, and they told everyone, because we know it's hard for people to come and work during a hurricane, bring your old parents with Alzheimer's disease, bring your animals, we will take care of them, their parents can stay with you, you're good. And of course, no one was expecting, the degree of destruction, the complete loss of electricity and power, the lack of ability to deliver even basic care to the patients, the problems with rescue. It's just turned into a nightmare.
At that point, the hospital is hot when the generators go off because of the water rising that were located in the basement, I guess, wherever they were. You're an anesthesiologist, but I guess you were just reverting to, I hate to say regular doctor, but a medical doctor and just administering care to the patients that were in the hospital?
I was an assistant nurse.
That's what you were. As an anesthesiologist, you were an assistant nurse, but it was all about patient comfort, right?
There were no opera. I mean, some people say to take vital signs. I mean, people were very stressed. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of all the patients who were there, a lot of patients there, a lot of ICU patients, a lot of nursing home patients, and the nurses were exhausted and stressed out, and there were no operations. So I looked around and said, this is where I can help.
Talking about Hippocratic Oath. So they send a boat, and we're talking to Jordan Fiegel earlier, who was there. They send a boat. They rescue some people. But you stay behind, right?
they when the people came to do the rescue, well, I think there was some people from the Shreveport Fire Department, they were given very clear orders that the triage system of removing people was the doctors had tagged all the patients that were the sickest so they could get them out first. Mm-hmm. They said, no, we're not doing, you know, medical triage. We're doing military triage. Those who are the most able are the ones who will leave. The others will be left to die with no care, including, you know, like 20 patients or so, which I didn't even realize at first.
Wait, and really? They told you that? They told you that? That it was military triage, not medical, and they were only taking able-bodied people.
They left like 3 ICU patients and like 17 nursing home patients who were not able to get up and go down on the boat by themselves.
So there ain't no way you're getting on it. At that point, there's no way you're getting on that boat.
No.
Okay. So tell me what happens from there.
Three other people stayed with me for the patients part. I mean, there was an old priest named Father Ignacio Rapolo, and he and I went around and gave, you know, water to patients, changed their diapers every day, and there was a respiratory therapist and a nursing supervisor, Cheryl Martin, and they went around and they took care of all the animals. And so we just, you know, worked very long days trying to do basic, I wouldn't even say it's nursing care because there was no IV pump. We gave IV fluids or water, changed their diapers. That was about all we could do.
You're talking about the MASH days here almost with the IV, no pump, no nothing, just IV hanging on a rack and then administering it that
everything
way, right?
Everything was primitive, and we're doing it by flashlight a lot of the time.
In what kind of heat?
Well, I'm sure it was more than 100 degrees.
Because those windows didn't open, did they?
Well, some of them were smashed in by the storm. Oh. There were three people in the ICU who were left. Two of them were liver transplant, one awaiting liver transplantation, one who had a liver transplant on a ventilator. Their family refused to leave. You know, I had tremendous admiration for them because they were sitting in a hospital. They knew nothing about hospital care. All of a sudden, they're there with their dying relative, and everybody leaves.
And
they were like, what?
I've only begun to talk to you, and I've got tremendous admiration for you already. Let me take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back. We're talking to a doctor who wrote out Katrina at what was then Lindy Boggs Hospital on Bienville. More when we come back. Dr. James Riopelle and his wife. 721 traffic now, WWL. Six, quickly back to Dr. James Riopelle, who is joining us in between seeing patients or else I'd have asked him to stay the entire hour. Doctor, when it comes to you're staying behind with the patients, it's just brutally hot. You're trying to treat them. Plus, you're trying to take care of the pets, right?
Right. I mean, Jody Patterson and Cheryl Martin and they took the animals, and me and Father Rapolo took the patients until the patients were finally rescued, the ones that were still alive, and then it was just the animals and it was just me.
How many did you lose, doctor, patients?
Me and Jody would stack up the dead bodies, you know, as they died, so that they wouldn't be lying in the same room with another patient who was alive. It must have been at least 5 of them that died.
Do you hold any resentment at all toward the people that rescued, that took the military triage part as opposed to the approach as opposed to the medical triage approach?
I would say that I wondered, the hospital offered to come and get all of their patients. Metairie Road was the nearest high ground. Mm-hmm. They could have launched boats and come and got all the patients out and all the animals out.
Is the hospital you're talking about? The hospital? Or the
military? Yeah, the hospital.
Yeah. Wow.
The hospital. But they couldn't get permission. They were told by the people who were setting up the perimeter, no civilian rescue. There are people coming from all over the state to help. But the military thinking seems to be secure the perimeter. You know, they're responsible for the security of the area more than the lives of the patients. I thought, that's really... The hospital could just get these people out. You know, there were people riding by in canoes. Mm. It was obvious that this didn't have to happen. So I thought, whoever's making a plan is making like one-size-fits-all plan for an entire city where a little bit of nuanced thinking would have easily solved their problems.
But
there was one group of the hospital did not want to defy the orders of the authorities. because they just, I guess, felt like they should follow what the people were telling them. The one group that I saw that was openly defying the rule, no civilian rescue, was the SPCA. They were going building to building, capping on windows, listening for barks and mews, you know, and Louisiana SPCA had one boat there, and they were so full of dogs they couldn't carry anymore. And when they finally saw my pack of dogs, they asked if they could drop one off with me because they had more than they could carry. So I took one of theirs, who ended up being, of course, not having a family, you know, to return to. All the other ones, their families came and got them. But this one was the extra one, but I did hear from one of my sister's friends from Houston that the dog was eventually adopted.
So in all of this with the patients, you still had the compassion and the energy to help with the pets, right, and rescue them. And at one point, you interacted with Matthew McConaughey?
Well, the other three people left when all the patients were rescued, finally. The remaining patients were rescued. Mm-hmm. So now it was just me and like 70 animals. But Cheryl and Jody had set it up so well. All I had to do was walk around twice a day and feed them all in their cages and take them for little walks. They had a dog walk on the fifth or sixth floor or something like that. And so it really wasn't that hard. I even played with the animals sometimes. It didn't get tough until Aviation Inc. set a helicopter in. Somehow my wife convinced the hospital to pay for animal rescue with help by helicopter because she was fighting on the phone with them. And they were determined to send a vet in to euthanize the animals, and she was threatening them that that would lead to very bad consequences if they did that. So finally, when they did that, they came in, and the helicopter landed, and we moved them all out to this little post office island behind the hospital because the post office was the one place slightly above the water level. But then another helicopter landed from the same company close by, and the downwash of the second helicopter caused the first helicopter to tip over and the engine exploded.
Oh, Lord.
So now that Huey was on its side. The pilot, fortunately, was still intact. He didn't die, which it looked like he would because it's a big explosion. But now the rescue was canceled. All the animals had to go back, be taken back into the hospital, and then it started to rain. Now instead of being up in their cages on fifth or sixth floor, they were all running around the floors, pooping and peeing and sometimes fighting with each other. And it was just me and 70 animals in a couple of rooms with linoleum floors. I was running around grabbing sheets, putting them on the floor, not knowing if anyone was going to come back. And when they came back again the next day, or maybe 2 days later, I can't remember, there was a guy.
For a week.
Let me interrupt both of you. Doctor, I know you got patients, but I can't. I don't know. I can let the story end right here. Do you have any more time or not?
My colleagues are watching the floor for me.
So that's a yes or no?
I don't want to take any more of your time. I mean,
I want to hear the story. If you don't worry about my time, I want to hear your story. This is a compelling.
I know the story as well, if not better than he does.
All right. Well, and Jamie, we'll stick with you when we come back, and we'll finish the story. And Doctor, you can go if you want, or stay if you can. Either way, it's 7:31. Time for WWL First News. For that, we go to Ian Ozan. Back with Tommy Tucker, WWL. Back with James Riopelle, an anesthesiologist. Rode out the storm, eschewed rescue, and stayed with the patients that were there. Jamie Manders, his wife. Jamie, you were there as well, right?
Well, I was there only until the very first boat came because I had my 83-year-old mother with dementia with me. And so my husband said, you've got to get out. I'm going to stay. He wasn't telling anybody at that point. He said, I'm going to stay with the animals. He says, they want me to.
Well, the animals and the patients, right?
Well, he didn't know about the patients at this point. When he put my mother and I on a boat, he said, I'm going to stay for the animals. I'm not telling anybody because I'm going to stay illegally. I can disappear into this hospital and they can't find me because it was dark.
Wow.
And so he said, your job is going to be work the internet, work whatever you can and get me rescued, but I will not leave until they take all the animals and save them, not euthanize them. So that was my charge. I got to Houston the next day. My brother lives in Houston. He came and got me. But once we were dumped off at Veterans and Causeway in the masses out there. So anyway, so James was in the hospital. He only had we had pushed to talk cell phones, and he could not charge his cell phone. Mm-hmm. So we could only talk to each other for about 30 minutes a night.
These Nextel things like that?
What?
Push to talk like these Nextel things, whatever it was?
They were the flip phones, you
okay,
know?
That's
what they had back then,
okay,
you know?
Yeah.
And basically that because the cell phones didn't work, it was just this push to talk function worked. So that's how we kept in touch. So I made sure he was alive every night. So because he was there by himself for a week, and he only had leftover food was left there. The patients had left behind when they left, and I managed to get somebody to drop cat and dog food on the hospital so that he could feed the animals. The only way he had water was that they drained. But before I left, the doctors drained all the water out of the pipes because they couldn't get new water, and they had to mix it. They had a pharmacist that showed them how much bleach to put in there to make it drinkable. So that's all that James had was this drinkable to drink and to give to the animals. So he was there because he promised the patients that were leaving their animals because they were crying and everything. They didn't want to leave their animals. And he says, I'm not leaving until they rescue them. So I was working the internet all this time, day and night, and I'm not exactly, well, basically I managed to get in touch with an anesthesiologist friend of ours in New York who was smart enough to get in touch with the owner of the hospital, and he got me on the phone, and they were trying to force me to allow them to send in a veterinarian who would euthanize all the animals. And I said, I knew they had left him two guns in case he needed them. And I said, he's got a gun and he's not afraid to use them. Well, of course, that ended up getting him into a lot of trouble, but they weren't going to send anybody in. And so I do not know how this happened, but eventually Oprah Winfrey heard about this. And she sent Matthew McConaughey, who my husband never heard of at that point. And
wait, hang on a second. Dr. James Riopelle. So you, Matthew McConaughey, comes to the hospital. You had no idea who he was?
I thought he was a reporter. He was asking me, was I there? The doctor was there to help the animals. And he had a cameraman with him. So I figured he's a reporter.
That's kind of humbling to him, I would think, right?
Well, he did great. I mean, there was a boat that had a little bit of gas in it that someone had done our rescued a patient, come back and got a liver transplant patient. That was Dr. Ram Charan. Mm-hmm. He was terrified of water, but he came all the way back to get that patient out of there. And he got two of them out, and he got them on the boat, but they had to leave the boat behind after they did the rescue. So the boat was there. So I didn't know how to drive a boat, but I had a key around my neck because someone had given it to me. And so when I asked him, you know, could he drive a boat, he said yes. And he drove all the animals back and forth to the island to be rescued the second.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer. How laughter bellows louder among friends, and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With AllTrails, you can discover and experience the best of nature. With over 450,000 trails worldwide and navigation right at your fingertips. Find your outside with AllTrails. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
In time, when after they'd been brought to the hospital, he was part of the second rescue team. And it was all put on Oprah Winfrey. And, I thought he was just a cub reporter who was there to help out.
I'm sorry to laugh, but I'm looking at the picture here of you with the key around your neck, which apparently is the boat key. Matthew McConaughey, one of the big movie stars of the time, says, yeah, I can drive a boat. So he takes the animals, and he did. Yeah, see the pictures of it right here. Let me take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back. 751 traffic, WWL. 7:56 now, a couple of minutes left with Dr. James Riopelle and anesthesiologist Jamie Manders, his wife, who wrote out Katrina at Lindy Boggs Hospital. Jamie left because her husband told her to. The doctor stayed behind to care for pets initially and then patients that he learned were not going to be rescued. I got to ask you individually, Jamie, how did it change your life, the whole experience?
Not a lot.
Really?
James is a pretty heroic, fabulous guy. And fortunately for us, our home was fine, high and dry, and was not harmed by Katrina. So, of course, the only two animals that died were my two cats.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That were left with James, and unfortunately, they died.
I'm sorry.
But everybody else lived. So this was a wonderful story, and a lot of people that their animals are rescued, we have heard from them through the years and how grateful they were. And but that is so like James. He's that kind of person.
James, do you consider yourself a hero?
I saw heroism around me constantly. I remember one night I heard a helicopter pitch black outside. I thought, what were they doing flying a helicopter at midnight over a hospital? If they'd gone down another few feet, they probably would have got their helicopter blades caught in the wires. A rope drops down. A man is crawling down the rope, rescuing someone in the water that someone's reported. Up goes the rope and the two people, and off they go. You know, this is just the kind of thing you see people at their best and people at their worst during a crisis.
Has it changed you at all?
It's made me aware that when really big decisions are made that affect large numbers of people, the little people can get lost in the shuffle. There were many, many things that could have been done better, but because of decisions being made on a massive scale, there was just no resources allocated to a lot of fairly easy solutions that I could see.
Have you kept up with anybody that was at the hospital or any pet owners or even Matthew McConaughey?
Well, Jody Patterson, I took him out with his mother, you know, to tell her all how great he was helping me with the patients and animals. And Cheryl Martin became a nursing supervisor out at Kenner, where I worked after the storm, and we would have long conversations about life. Unfortunately, she died last year. I would send her birthday cards and stuff. Matthew McConaughey is, you know, just great for the one day that I had him.
I appreciate your stories, both of y'all. You are, and both of you are true heroes, and unfortunately, those stories don't get told a lot, and sometimes the people that do the most work, you know, Doc, you're the real deal. In this job that I've had for a long time now, the people that are all braggadocious and everything else, they're not the real deal. The people that are the real deal are the ones that are quiet, and you, sir, are the real deal. Thank you for your time. Jamie, thank you for your time as well and for what you did during Katrina. Y'all have a great day, okay?
Thank you for a chance to tell our story.
You bet. Thank you. Thank you both. We'll take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk to Jeff Nowak, WWL Saints sideline reporter and digital producer, take another look back at the game on Saturday, against the Broncos, and who can make the 53-man roster and who's getting cut. We'll talk about it when we come back, WWL.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.